Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 3 o'clock hour. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stratford as we continue to fill in for Hawk and Crowder on this Tuesday. Alex Solano with us as well as we're going to take you up until 6 o'clock. So much going on. And, you know, normally we would say that this week stereotypically is a slower week when it comes to sports.
But not this year.
The NBA says, you know what, not only are we going to continue to deliver with news, rumors, reports, but we're also going to deliver with those news or with the news, the reports, the rumors involving the Miami Heat. So
yes.
You get the feeling that this is going to be something with Russell Westbrook that gets done sooner rather than later, as Woj had mentioned in his report last night. So I am really anxious to see how this all plays out.
Question to you.
Yes.
In interviewing, talking, speaking with Eric.
Yes, Eric Horn from the Oklahoman was on with us before Covers the Thunder.
Did he make you pump your brakes just a little bit? Slow down just a little bit?
Well, you know, he made some good points, and he's a guy who watches pretty much every Russell Westbrook game.
Yes.
And, you know, I jotted a couple of notes down about Russell Westbrook based on what he said. And so
he contradicted himself a little bit.
He did, because early on he seemed to indicate that Russell Westbrook – I thought your question was interesting because you asked him whether the Thunder, like where they would reside in the Eastern Conference standings last year with Paul George, and he was like, maybe like in the middle of the road.
That's not much improvement, right?
And I'm like, well, they were like the sixth seed, I believe, right? They were the sixth seed last year. And so, you know, like they'd be what, like a spot up at the five seed?
They would win five more games here if they were in the East?
Which that didn't make sense to me. But then later in the interview, he seemed to be really high on the idea that Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook would get the best out of each other.
I like that.
Yeah.
That part of what he had to say.
Like he indicated that Paul George and Kevin Durant were scared off, for lack of a better term, and didn't want to play with Russell Westbrook anymore because of his efficiency or lack thereof at the free throw line, the three-point line, and that, yeah, he's good around the basket, but that his numbers have continued to get worse as he gets older.
Because he can't get to his spot.
Right.
As easy as he did before.
Right. And so with that line of thinking, I thought he was going to say, yeah, with Jimmy Butler, you know, he may not be the same type of player as a Kevin Durant or a Paul George. So adding him and Russell Westbrook together, not as attractive. And we've already seen Russell Westbrook not be able to get to the pinnacle of success with the likes of more talented players. So with that being said, I was surprised that I was actually very high on the idea of Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook and that potential pairing. But if you're asking me the question, although I'll say this, Troy, like going into this process and the last couple of days when we realized this could become a reality, I think most of us are aware of
the risks
right? And the deficiencies in Russell Westbrook's games and some of the side effects or negatives that come with him being part of your team.
I think Heat fans want to be, I was listening to Omar earlier, relevant again, because they've had so much success down here.
Mm-hmm.
And watching basketball was enjoyable. Losing sleep was enjoyable. Going out to the arena was awesome to do. And you were on top of the mountain. And I think that Miami Heat fans, and I know I shouldn't be talking just about the fans, but fan-wise, I just think in thinking they're sitting there saying, oh, bring it on. We need that again. We want that again. We want to feel that again. I don't think they're saying bring them here or Westbrook here to pair with Butler because we think that will win it all. You know, LeBron, Wade, Bosch, they knew that was going to win it all. I don't think that's the case now. I just think that they want to be relevant again, where it's a Thursday night and, you know, your lady is saying, let's go to dinner as opposed to the basketball game. I think right now you're like, okay, we'll go to dinner.
Right. You're not going to miss anything.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. I'll catch the highlights, whatever the case. But when the Big Three was here, you don't even ask the question, let's go to dinner. Like, what, are you crazy?
It's like, we'll go get dinner and bring it home so we can watch the game. Or we go somewhere to watch the game and maybe eat some dinner. But
exactly.
The game took priority. You're right. And, you know, I think that goes for everybody in South. There's the stereotype that maybe the women aren't as into sports or whatever. Depends on each individual person, obviously. But, you know, when the Big Three were down here, I feel like everybody was interested. Right, all the casual fans or non-fans.
Oh, yes.
That was the thing.
Women galore. It was a fashion show
to be interested in. Right.
Absolutely.
Everybody was on board with that. So I do think that's a really good point, that the being relevant is important. At the same time, I also look at it this way: for those who have brought up the fact that Russell Westbrook is going to be 34 and, you know, close to 35 and making nearly $50 million. And Jimmy Butler, you know, he's going to be making over $40 million into his mid-30s as well. And everybody's all upset at what this team and what those two players in particular would look like in 3 or 4 years. And I would say this. We don't know year to year anymore in the NBA. We don't. Just in general.
No.
Paul George, we thought a year ago, was going to be in Oklahoma City for the duration of his contract, and nothing was going to change that, and he and Russell Westbrook would be this dynamic duo and playing in a small market, and they really, really embraced that idea. We thought, you know, I'd say over the last couple of years, there's so many different examples. Kyrie Irving, do we envision him not wanting to play with LeBron James for LeBron's, what ultimately was his last year in Cleveland? Like, why would you give that up?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Kobe and Shaq.
Did anybody think that Kevin Durant was seriously considering Brooklyn of all teams? Like, everybody had him going to the Knicks or staying in Golden State, right? Like, who thought of that? So there are so many examples recently over the last few years where you just never know on an annual basis in the NBA. So my point is, just take advantage of an opportunity when it becomes available.
Very good point.
And let's make it happen.
With it.
Yeah, and if in a couple of years
it didn't work,
we'll
change up.
We'll change up and also think about this. Like, where were you going to be anyway? Right? Like, you were otherwise just waiting out the contracts of James Johnson and Deion Waiters. Let's wait another couple of years, and if those guys don't make a big turnaround, then you just got to wait for those contracts come off the books.
I like how you just put it.
You know what I mean? Like, seize it now while you have the opportunity.
I pumped my brakes a little bit after talking to Eric, and the red flag that I had was him talking about Westbrook not being able to get to his point anymore the way he wanted to.
Right.
So his game changed a little bit. He became a little bit more of a post-up. And, you know, when you kind of think back in your mind and you picture him playing last year, because we didn't watch them like every single night, you saw Westbrook in a lot of post-up situations. So you could kind of see that. Him, who watched them nightly all the time, he saw a decline. So a red flag went up for me. But the way you just said it, so what? Like, you take the risk. And if it works, you clap, you celebrate it. If it doesn't, you change up again. And one of the things, we kind of touched on this a little bit yesterday. No one thought that the Miami Heat would be in this situation to have Butler number one, the thought of Westbrook number two, because of where the Miami Heat were financially, right? And we have learned, so there should no longer ever, ever, ever be talk, and I don't care what sport it is, that you can't get what you want. If you want to change up your franchise, it doesn't matter what your books say right now, because there is a way. I mentioned yesterday, they have people that they pay big money to to figure that all out. And just to make the connection going to the Miami Dolphins in their quarterback situation, you want Tua, whatever the case may be, if you're in that fan club. But no one thought going into the draft that the Miami Dolphins, whether Rosen is good or bad or indifferent, no one thought that he would be a member of the Miami Dolphins Draft day.
Yeah, a year after.
Draft day.
A year after being the 10th overall pick.
So we have to stop that talk of they can't do this because of dollars. They can't. You can't. You just got to say you trust the people who are paid to make those decisions. To make those decisions and to get you out of trouble and rebuild the franchise.
Well, and to that point, did anybody think that Hassan Whiteside's contract would be able to be traded?
We thought we were stuck with him.
Right?
Right?
Like, of all the deals that the Heat have done, I anticipated the $27-plus million that Hassan Whiteside was going to make for the upcoming season, they would have to sit with him on the bench, and they were stuck
right.
with him just being on the team.
Absolutely.
And so
I think that's the biggest coup of like the moves. Forget about the Butler thing. Getting rid of that contract and Whiteside, I think that's even bigger. And who thought, we all thought down here, we were stuck with him, right? So we have to change our thinking. Not we think, I don't think that way, but a lot of other people that, you know, kind of sit behind the microphone, they kind of, they need to change their thinking a little bit.
A little too narrow-minded, huh?
Very narrow-minded.
Think outside the box.
Outside the box.
So you're now all in on Westbrook, whatever it takes.
It's a good question. Because I think, yesterday.
Right, but I think that's what it's become, right? Like
yesterday, and then after talking to Eric, I slowed down a little bit. I wasn't off of it. I slowed down a little bit because it's always nice to talk to someone who has covered whoever we're speaking of, because they see stuff totally differently, right? So I slowed down a little bit. But then Likens came back and he painted the picture of, you know, just change it if it doesn't work. So I'm kind of back on.
I think now it's become how the Thunder perceive their own, I guess, like evaluation of this trade. Because I think Barry Jackson was saying, like, Heat fans were already kind of getting ready to send Justice Winslow, Bam, or Hero, two of those three, because we're acquiring an 8-time All-Star.
Right.
But Barry Jackson said yesterday he spoke to somebody who says it should be the Heat using leverage and you know, saying, well, we're taking a problem off your hands.
We're taking that Whiteside money off of your books.
Right. Maybe it should be you guys, the Thunder, sending a first-round pick with Russell Westbrook over to us. So, I mean, I don't know how the Thunder view it.
And Barry said that yesterday, and Woj had said that over the weekend.
Right.
And when Woj said it over the weekend, I was stunned because I was like, wait, so the Heat could trade for Russell Westbrook plus get a first-round pick? Because they don't have any first-round picks for years. Because of all the maneuvering they've made. So, in theory, yes, you may have to get rid of a Justice Winslow in the process, and obviously Goran Dragic and whoever
else. Possibility.
It's like, but you also replenish a first-round pick in the future as well, which you didn't anticipate happening this offseason, and you get Russell Westbrook. And so, in conjunction with that, you're immediately absolutely relevant. Like, ESPN, all the national folks, TNT, NBA TV, everybody's going to be focusing on the Heat as one of the it teams for the upcoming season, right? It's not going to be like this past year where we're like begging for them to have a nationally televised game and get Dwayne Wade some love during his, you know, one last dance tour. Instead, we're talking about the Heat being one of the it teams in the NBA.
Yes.
What's going to happen? We're all intrigued. Can Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler coexist? What can Eric Spoelstra do to make this pairing work? Can the Miami Heat make a dent in the Eastern Conference playoff standings? All of these different storylines that we'll be fascinated by.
Yes.
And all because of this move. And in the process, as Solano just brought up, you can also add a first-round pick.
Possibility is out there. And see, us as fans, we're not those GMs who it's their job to think all of that. Because other things that I took away from that interview with him, he talked about the fact of building that team, maybe why the Thunder struggled a little bit. He's like, they didn't have shooters. The NBA full of shooters now. Golden right. State changed all of that. He made the reference to or comparison to James Harden. James Harden is efficient right now. So you could play that kind of style. Couldn't play that style any longer with Westbrook because he didn't become as efficient. And he said they struggled a little bit because they could not make knock down the outside shot. So now you're sitting here saying, okay, Butler, and he kind of talked about Butler also not being that efficient in that situation. You got Butler, you got Westbrook. How do you surround them? And I know we yesterday were sitting there saying other people are out there. You put those pieces together, but they have to put that team together. If they get those two, they have to have shooters around them because that's where the NBA is.
Well, and that's where this Tyler Hero situation comes into play.
Oh, he's a keeper now.
Well, right, but I also think that depending what the Heat have to give away. Duncan Robinson is going to become very valuable as well. A guy that is probably an afterthought to a lot of folks. Like, I know he's front and center right now because he's playing in the summer league, but in general, like, that's not a guy that's like, oh my gosh, like, he's going to be a main cog. But if they have to get rid of, a number of players in this deal, like, Duncan Robinson could play a major role for this team simply because of his ability to shoot the basketball.
It is funny how somehow, one way or another, in 2019, I have to really sit myself down and convince myself, talk myself into giving up Derek Jones Jr., Justice Winslow, and Tyler Hero for Russell Westbrook. Like, I have to, as a Heat fan, sit there and say, it's for the betterment of the franchise. Like, it's crazy. Like, 2 years ago, you'd be like, we'll do anything for Russell Westbrook. But now, like, I have to convince myself that it's okay to let these young guys go we're getting back an 8-time All-Star.
Do you have to convince yourself because it's warranted these guys are really good, or it's because we've been in this echo chamber here in South Florida in which, we really hasn't been anything to look forward to when it comes to the Heat because you're strapped down with all these contracts.
Right.
So then it's like everybody is now magnifying the hope that's attached to some of these young players.
So they can be relevant again.
But listen, like, Eric Horn, who joined us last hour, we keep referencing him. We asked him
nothing
about the young guys.
Nothing.
And like, what would be in return? He's like, well, I don't know. Maybe a Bam
Adebayo.
They
need a fourth and fifth and sixth
team. Or a Justice Winslow. But like, he's a guy who focuses on his team.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not like, I don't even know if he's aware of some of the young guys like Derek Jones Jr. and Duncan Robinson to the degree that like we
absolutely
would prop
not.
Them up, right?
Absolutely
like,
not.
Like he knows of them. But I like to your point, Salon, like I don't know if in any other market people are like, Derek Jones Jr., airplane mode, you just never know.
Right.
Right? Like
they know he could jump.
But down
they
here.
They should be, though. They should be. It's Derek Jones bleeping Jr., man.
But that's the point. Like, I feel like we've had a lot of that locally where there's all this buzz and hype, and part of it is social media related that people are like, oh my gosh, Duncan Robinson made a couple of three-pointers in Summer League. And by the way, the guy who's as guilty as anybody else is sitting right over there in Solana. The East Coast version of the Splash Brothers after
absolutely.
The first Summer League game.
Okay, to be fair, we've been overhyping the four guys, right, for the past two seasons. Josh Richardson, Winslow, Bam, and we threw Derek Jones Jr. in that mix. And to be fair, yes, Heat fans, myself included, overhype them. We put way too much stock into, realistically, the rest of the league doesn't view them the way we view them. But then you get Josh Richardson, and you turn him into Jimmy Butler in that trade, and now everybody's saying, what a great fit Josh Richardson's going to be on that Sixers team. They might even be better with Josh Richardson. Like, it's an unfair game because when they're a member of the Miami Heat, people are saying, oh, well, they're not really that great of an asset. They're just mediocre players. They've already reached their ceiling. But then once they get traded, now the rest of the NBA wants to glorify them.
It's all about
them.
The fit, though, because
he's
not that great player here.
It's partially about the fit, but it's also if you're on a really good team, suddenly you become
elevated.
You're
not as exposed. Right.
And your reputation becomes elevated. Don't
you
think?
I agree.
Like Quinn Cook, he plays for the Warriors. He just signed a deal with the Lakers. I'm sure Lakers fans are like, oh, man, that's a steal. We got him. We didn't for not very much, and he was a big piece of what they were doing in Golden State. It's like Quinn Cook's
Quinn Cook came in and played like 8 minutes, and he knocked down two jumpers. No big deal. He could go.
Yeah, like, I think that's part of the issue. So if Josh Richardson's on a 76ers team that's going to be one of the favorites in the East, all of a sudden he is part of the bigger conversation for a contender.
Right.
And that elevates his name and his reputation.
And he doesn't have to do as much for that particular team.
Correct. But when he's with the Heat and they're battling for the eighth
seed, you want more out of him.
And it's like, hey, this was supposed to be the year where you become the go-to guy down the stretch.
Right.
Doesn't happen.
In Philly, he's not even taking that shot down the stretch.
Yeah, so to your point, the role makes a big difference.
Big difference.
All right, Troy, let's take a timeout.
Okay.
We're going to come back. I referenced this before, but while we're on this topic, I figured we would go over some of the national voices who cover the NBA and what they think about a Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler pairing in terms of where the Heat would be as contenders. We'll provide that perspective next here on QAM. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Troy Stradford. In for Hawk and Crowder. Alex Solano with us as well as we continue on. Troy, I keep waiting. It's like every commercial break, I'm refreshing my Twitter feed.
Yes.
Just to see if we get some sort of Woj bomb or anything.
Has it come yet?
Nothing yet. But
they need like a third and fourth team in there. At least two. A second or a third team.
I don't think you necessarily do, but there is that possibility. I've seen some rumblings out there that the Wizards...
Otherwise, it would have happened by now. Yes? If you really break it down, if the Miami Heat had the pieces that the Thunder would exchange for Westbrook, it probably would have happened unless they're offering or waiting for other offers. Like, they don't want to jump that fast. They're like, we got time. You know, we got the whole offseason. Maybe we'll get a better offer somewhere. But if, from the Thunder's perspective, if the Heat had what they wanted, they would have pulled the trigger on this because they're moving Westbrook.
Right.
So they have to get other people involved. They have to find other people to get involved with this. So just my thought is when this goes down, if it goes down, it will not be just the Heat. Someone else will be involved in this.
I've seen some, you know, hypotheticals that have included the Washington Wizards and John Wall's contract, Bradley Beal potentially. Do I credit our friend here, Solana, smiling?
I mean, go ahead, man.
Our buddy, yeah. Eric Lauzon, who works for Intercom, but at our sister station, 790 The Ticket, he has kind of jumped headfirst into... He's not really a reporter. He's not really an insider, but occasionally he gets a source.
He's broken some legitimate news. Like, he was the first person to report Manny Diaz and the K. Like, he had, to be fair, he has broken some actual news before.
No, he has. And he's a good guy. Really like Lauzon. I've known him for a long time. But I'm not sure if we can trust him on this NBA stuff. I just don't know. So
what is he saying?
Well, so the most recent thing he's saying, and I'm going to pull it up here because, you know, he does tweet a lot. So oftentimes you got to, like, scroll down his timeline to see everything. But the most recent thing he has said is that he has heard, let's see. Okay, let me go down here a little bit. Okay, it says, my friend is hearing the Wizards as an option. Wall goes to OKC. Heat get Russ and Beal. This is just exploratory.
Heat get Russ and Beal. Wall goes to Oklahoma City Thunder.
So that would mean the Heat are going to have to clear out like the entire roster outside of Jimmy
literally
Butler.
Literally every single person on the roster. My question, if that were a actual situation, Greg, why would the Thunder be willing to get rid of a guy who's been there for 11 seasons, who's on essentially the same contract as John Wall,
yes,
for the same amount of time, and then take back a player who's coming off an Achilles tear for the same contract?
Doesn't make any sense.
I was going to add to
and
that
they're
and
the
say...
Same, they're the same player, essentially, right? Like, they're essentially the same kind of guy, ball-dominant point guard, use athleticism to get to the rim.
I was going to say that if that was the case... The Wall, the end is not with Thunder. There's another move coming behind that because they're not taking Wall because of the points you just made. They're not taking him in his contract and his injury situation, and he doesn't fit with what they're getting ready to do, which is rebuild that entire franchise.
Right, but and it.
Not necessarily rebuild the entire one.
To both your points, it's like essentially Russell Westbrook is John Wall, except John Wall's injured. and you don't know how he's going to return from the injury, but they're making the same amount of money.
Right. So they would have another plan with Wall, but it's hard to have another plan with him because other people don't know his health situation.
Correct. So I don't know about that. But it is interesting, and to the point you were making before, Troy, there are these rumblings out there of potential multi-team deals in place that would land Westbrook in Miami, but there would be, you know, much like we didn't know that the Jimmy Butler trade, at first we thought it was just going to be for Josh Richardson.
Right.
And then it ended up being a four-team deal.
Yes.
The Trailblazers and the Clippers got involved.
That's what they're working out now. Trying to.
So that's, you would imagine, so you were saying that, hey, if it's just Russell Westbrook for the same salary cap space in players from the Miami Heat's roster, then it'd be done by now.
No reason to hold up on it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm intrigued by this possibility of the Heat getting a draft pick in return as well.
I could see that.
That would be awesome. We're getting some tweets. We're getting some texts. Our buddy 1012 Management on Twitter says, we'll have a top 10 and a top 15 player after this trade. Make it happen. And goes on to say, I would pack Hero, Derek Jones Jr., or Winslow's bags to get Westbrook. Wherever they live, we'll ride on over there and pack their bags for him. Now,
he's literally going to help.
Yeah, no, he said, we'll pack the bags.
Okay.
Okay, somebody earlier had said, because people are all up in arms about the idea of giving up some. Okay, here it is. So you guys want to trade multiple young, talented players for a declining max salary player that may not even play well with Butler to perhaps be good, not great for 3 years, then 10 years of purgatory to pay for it? The Heat will not have the future assets to recover. The current Heat team has an opportunity to be good for many years before any augmentation is applied.
Okay, obviously, he just got into the car short time ago, and he did not hear the point that you may, that we discussed earlier, that we as sports guys that talk on the radio and try and inform people and generate a conversation, we are no longer about, you got to go back to the purgatory line. In his tweet or text, he said 10 years, the Miami Heat are going to be in purgatory. No. You changed it.
He said 10 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
See, he did not get our conversation of the days of being saddled for 10 years, 5 years, going back to last year and everyone discussing the Heat talking about 2 years.
Right.
No longer the case.
Well, but
you could get out of it.
And here's the other thing. It's not like we're doing a radio show in Oklahoma City or in Memphis, where they have trouble getting free agents because they're not attractive destinations. So in 3 or 4 years, say 4 years, right? Jimmy Butler's got his four-year, $140 million contract, and Russell Westbrook has now got $170 million left on his four-year deal. So in 4 years' time, even if those two are hurt at the end of it and it ends in a not-so-great way for all the Heat fans, in 4 years, those deals are done. They're off the books.
Right.
And just because you don't have a bunch of young assets to show for it afterwards doesn't mean that Pat Riley or whoever's running the organization at that point can't go back out in free agency and get other guys who want to play in Miami, who have seen, it wasn't just Dwayne Wade and Shaq and Alonzo Mourning and Jason Williams and Antoine Walker in 06. It wasn't just the Big Three era with the Miami Heat from 2010 to 2014, where they went to four straight finals and won two championships. They also attracted Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook to one of the most desirable markets for any of these players to play in and live in. So guess what? Whoever's up, whichever contracts are expired and you hit free agency in 4 years' time, we're talking about in 2023, then at that point, Butler's off the books, Russell Westbrook's off the books, whoever else is off the books, and you dip back into the well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So where's the 10-year purgatory?
Right. Miami is not one of those small market teams that has to build through the draft because free agents are not your destination, or they're not your destination. Miami is always going to be a destination,
always,
which you're pointing out. It's always. So every single year, there's potential that there's one guy, a Jimmy Butler or whoever it is, that's like, I wouldn't mind playing in Miami. It's a destination. It's not a small market. Why not live here? And they can live where they want to live, but why not live here? You're no longer handcuffed, is what I'm saying. That's it.
No, I'm with you.
You could change things up. There's a button on the desk. You hit the button, reset.
I like that.
But, Greg, even on the other hand, well, because everything you said is correct, but to answer that texter's question, if you think Pat Riley won't trade 10 years of purgatory down the line for a chance at winning one NBA title, then I don't know what organization, what general manager, what president of basketball operations you've been following for the past 15 to 20 years, because he's shown he will do that, especially now that his career's winding down. He's made it he's noted, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants one more. He wants another chance. He wants one more. So if you're telling me Pat Riley won't trade 10 years of
Absolutely
purgatory
he will.
For just one more chance
That's
at putting together
problem.
Another super team and winning another title, not to say he wants to handcuff this team, but man, like he's smelling blood in the water right now. He's a shark and he's going to go after it. Like that's what confuses me about Heat fans who are saying, oh, Westbrook in 2023, the contract's too large. We're not going to have any other options. Bro, who have you been following for the past 20 years? Riley's not looking at 2023. He's looking at right now he can put together a super team.
And not only that, imagine if for some reason both Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook or one of the two is run down entering the final year of the contract. If they could trade Hassan Whiteside and $27.6 million, you don't think they could trade Russell Westbrook in a contract year? Right?
Absolutely.
So, come on. Like, you know, you're talking about this, and you hit it on the head earlier, Troy. It's like people need to get, you know, think outside the box. Like,
absolutely.
Quit being so conservative about these things. And also, to Solana's point, understand who we're dealing with. Pat Riley goes for the grand slam. Not the home run. He goes for the grand slam.
He does.
That's what he's known for. All right. Even with that being said, we've got somebody here says, so you're good for making it to only the second round for the next 4 years in the playoffs. Well, I'll tell you this. I'd rather get to the second round than be sitting on the outside watching on my couch every year, because if you get to the second round, you have a chance to get further, right? So, like, you at least give yourself that opportunity. Now, if it turns out that way, if you're predicting right now for the next 4 years, the Heat will only advance no further than the second round, that's your prediction. I can't take that away from you. But at the end of the day,
second round or no playoffs period?
What would you prefer?
Second round.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Build on something. Give me the experience.
All right.
Now we become even more of a destination. Someone else is sitting there saying, I can help that team.
I can get them over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I can hang on South Beach on my days off.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I keep promising we're going to read some quotes from these people, and we haven't gotten around to it because
that was like three segments ago.
The conversation has been captivating, compelling. We're going to come back. We'll get to more of this. People are pumped up about the possibility of Russell Westbrook, both good and bad. Stay tuned here on QAM. I feel like everybody's got a Russell Westbrook fever, right? It's going around. And there are strong opinions on both sides of the table, although I think more people would love to see Russell Westbrook here in the Miami Heat, or with the Miami Heat in the Miami Heat uniform, than the opposite. Greg Likens here alongside Troy Stratford, Alex Solano with us as well as we continue on here. We got a bunch of texts rolling in here. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. A lot of opinions flying in. Before we get to that, Troy, want to give everybody a little sampling, and Barry Jackson compiled this, so I want to give him credit from the Miami Herald, but a bunch of the talking heads, former players, analysts that work on the national networks have chimed in on the possibility of Russell Westbrook playing with Jimmy Butler with the Miami Heat. Chauncey Billups said this, quote, they would be a contender. If he goes there, some other players have to leave. You've got to have depth, but the tenacity of those two guys, the heart, the will, and effort of those two guys, Jimmy and Russ being able to play together, I feel like they will have a chance every single night. Jimmy is not a guy that needs the ball every play for 24 seconds, so I think he and Russell could possibly coexist. when you have another goon besides you, you feel good going in every night. I still think Russell has a good future in the league, averaging a triple-double. The only issue I've ever had with Russell is he has just one gear. There are times during the game, particularly at the end, he needs to take it down a notch, slow down, and make the proper plays.
I agree with that.
His greatest strength is also his greatest weakness. You have to deal with that when you've got great players. Wow. End quote.
I said that to myself about him. Like, he's one speed.
He's always going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, yes. You have to learn how to slow down at times.
Paul Pierce said this.
Paul Pierce?
Yes, which we take everything he says with two grains of salt. It says, quote, in the Eastern Conference, they'll be a contender. But think about this. Russ has played with Durant, Harden, Paul George. I'm not taking anything away from Jimmy Butler, but he's not as talented as those guys. But because you're in the Eastern Conference, you have a chance. Say there's an injury here or there to Milwaukee, I think the door is wide open, end quote. Kendrick Perkins, quote, said this, I talked to him, and I think I see him in a Miami Heat jersey. That's where I think he fits best, end quote. Vince Carter on NBA TV said this, quote, I'm sure those guys could make it work. Two guys who are strong personalities but great players. It's possible Westbrook can keep his athleticism for several more years. He'll put the work in, end quote. Brendan Hayward, former NBA center, an NBA TV analyst said, quote, Miami would be the best fit, but he might have to acknowledge he has to make some changes in his game, end quote.
So we all kind of agree with that.
It seems, yes, that seems to be.
Can he make that change?
Well, he's, from everything we've heard, very strong-willed, right? So it can be difficult. You can speak to this, Troy. Like, you see some of these great athletes.
It's hard to do it.
It's hard to make that change, right?
Dwayne Wade made that change.
He did so. Now, I don't know how difficult it was behind the scenes, but I felt he did so with grace, especially when he got to Miami. It seemed like in Chicago there was that battle. It was like him and Jimmy Butler versus everybody else. Yeah. And then in Cleveland, that didn't make sense either. But when he came back to Miami and embraced the bench rule, and he thrived in it, that was something that you don't often see from great players, and their ability to have great self-awareness and also, I think, a trust with the coaching staff, right? And saying, hey,
yes.
Even though the role won't be what I'm accustomed to, I'll still be in there when it matters, right? See, I may not start, but I'll be there in the end.
I think
of the game.
There was a mindset when it comes to the whole Dwayne Wade thing going to Chicago. I think he felt that he had to prove that he was still Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
What everyone remembered Dwayne Wade being as a youngster growing up in Chicago.
And they paid him a big deal, right. So that was probably part of it, too. Yeah.
But once he came back to the Miami Heat, to an organization that pretty much said, we're turning the page on you, so he didn't come back with any ego. Came back where he felt very comfortable, that he didn't have to prove anything, and things were smooth sailing for Dwayne Wade at that point. When it comes to Westbrook, he's going to have to face that at some point. Again, and speaking with Eric Horn.
Yeah.
He talked about how his game changed a little bit last year. So Westbrook, you would guess that in his preparation for this coming year, he has been working on that part of his game, and he's now prepared mentally to change it. Because as an athlete, growing up, you're able to do certain things. And what happens is your brain says, I can still do that. But the body says, oh, no, you can't. And that's the struggle.
It's got to be a big wake-up
call.
Oh,
my goodness. That is the struggle that a lot of guys just can't get over. And you wonder, Westbrook, can he get over that? So me, just looking at him, I'm sitting there saying, he should be working on his game. Not that 100 miles an hour, one speed. Your game needs to change. Are you working on that? And the professional that he is, everything that we hear when it comes to Westbrook, first one in, last one out, dedicated, wants to win. You would think that he is that smart, intelligent guy that's sitting there saying, I got to change my game. And because student of the game, he's seen guys do it. Michael Jordan did it. Kobe Bryant did it. Dwayne Wade did it. There are guys who changed their game. It has to change upstairs first, mentally, and then you're able to change the game itself, your game.
Really good points. Mentally make the change, then physically it comes after that.
Right.
Zach Lowe, who writes for ESPN.com, he had this. This is the last quote I'll read about a potential pairing of Westbrook and Butler. Quote, I do not think they would be a contender in the East with Russ and Jimmy. I think they're a tier below. I don't like how they would mesh. There's not enough shooting with Russ and Jimmy. They would be tough. They would be a tough out every night, but I don't think that they can win the East. That's a huge amount of money for a guy who's already trending the wrong way and has not developed a jump shot. When you start to lose the athleticism, the jump shot is what saves you. I'm not sure he has it.
See,
end quote.
There it is.
Exactly what you're referencing.
Exactly what I'm talking about right there. And so you have to surround these guys with shooters.
But then the other part of it is that something that Russell Westbrook needs to come to terms with on his own? Or is that like Pat Riley having a conversation with him and saying, hey, this is how I envision you changing your game?
A little bit of both. I'm thinking
because I don't know how receptive he would be to that.
I think that, well, I go back again to Eric Horn. I got his last name now, who covers the Thunder. And he talked about Westbrook late in ball games. He's like, he wasn't the ball hog late in ball games. He was looking for other guys to take the final shot, to, you know, to hit the big shot down the stretch. He wasn't that ball hog at that point. Yeah, you could question some of his decisions earlier periods of the game, but not in that situation. He was very willing to share the ball. And so that's someone who knows, like, okay, this guy has a better percentage than I do of hitting this shot right here and winning this game. So I think that he's already having that. They need to surround those guys, if they get them, with guys that can knock it down. And I mean knock it down. Wide open jumper, you're going to – everyone misses more than they make, but you need someone out there because the two of them are not going to do it.
Right, and Butler has gotten better as a three-point shooter. I give him credit. He's worked on that part of his game, but he's still not a knockdown three-point shooter. Russell Westbrook has never been that. So I'm with you. Surround him with some shooters. Part of the issue is going to be for this Miami Heat team is that depending on what they have to give up, we're so late in the process in free agency that there's not a lot of other roster augmentation that can go on. Yeah, this could be, you know, a process that carries over into next offseason as well to truly perfect what they can do with a roster featuring Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler. Troy, let's take a quick timeout. We're going to come back, kick off the 4 o'clock hour. There is no guarantee that Solano will be paying attention after 4 o'clock because the Heat Summer League game is going to start at around that time.
We just lost him.
Yeah, I think so. But with that being said, we actually had a momentous occurrence last night. Troy Stradford was right on one of his predictions. We'll give him credit next here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.